Good afternoon, brethren. Again, beautiful day outside. I like the backdrop. Mr. Enrique Vidal is the one that painted this, and we were able to make it bigger and so that we could have a nice backdrop for our church. A young boy had no idea what he wanted to do with his life. He felt certain this was a failing on his part because he didn't know right then what he needed to do to make his life count. Life would pass him by before he ever had a chance to do something meaningful or valuable. At least, that's what he thought. So he sat around thinking, analyzing, trying to identify something big enough or good enough. Terrified that maybe he would spend the rest of his days feeling purposeless, useless, on the fringe, doing the same thing he had always done in his personal life. Feeling like he was on the outside looking in. Have you ever felt that way? He could do what his dad or his mom were doing, or other people that had important things that they were doing. He could even become the president of the United States. When you are sitting amid a vast expanse of possibilities in the pressure cooker of expectations and impatience, it can feel almost paralyzing. What step do you take when you have a hunch but no solid sense of direction? If it's only a hunch, then maybe it's the wrong direction. And if you go in the wrong direction, then you will have wasted time, and time is finite. And everyone else is so far ahead. Everyone else seems happy and successful. Everyone else is climbing a ladder, earning more money, making a difference. Mattering. What if you never matter? What if you never do anything important? And worst of all, what if you never have more than a hunch about what's important to you to do? What if you never feel a spark, a purpose, that elusive why that so many people write about, talk about? What if you never care about anything so strongly that it becomes the bliss you have to follow? Waking up feeling purposeless is incredibly frustrating. You look around and you see your friends and coworkers living what appears to be passionate, engaged, and meaningful lives. They have deep relationships, rewarding jobs, and a sense of direction that compels them to hop out of bed each morning with a spring in their step. In order to live a fulfilling life, each of us must find our purpose. From a very young age, we encourage our youth to identify their passion and pursue it. Yet most of us struggle with this throughout our lives. Even if you know what you want to dedicate your life to, the practical path forward is not always so clear. Many people continue to chase after corporate ladders, higher salaries, and bigger sounding titles in the wrong assumption that this will eventually bring them some sort of fulfillment. Most people will live and work for decades with no clue, no true sense of higher purpose. This is one of many tragedies of our modern day materialistic world. But it's not enough to tell everyone, especially our youth, that they need to find and follow their purpose. In order to bring more meaning into our societies, we also need to consider how each of us can find our purpose and how we can pursue it. Have you ever wondered what we are doing here, what you are doing here? As we know, at home, as we are now more at home and trying to find things to do around the house, we find ourselves thinking about things related to us, or maybe even someone in your family or your friends. Why is that person here? What does that person do? Where is everyone going with their lives? Am I essential? Why am I? The Bible is a story of many things. It's about creation, the beginning, and the Creator who made it all. It's about God's desire for children of His own and humanity's desire to be independent from our Creator. It is the story of how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is working to bring us back to the Creator's family. The Bible is about how you personally have a very specific purpose in the universe. The Apostle John wrote about that purpose. If you will turn to 1 John 3, and we will read verse 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Verses 1 through 3 focuses on God's love and how his love results in believers becoming children of God. Becoming a child of God is seen as a great sign of love from God the Father. John specifically mentions that believers are not only called children of God, believers truly are God's children. You know that God has something good in store for you. You don't believe he intends for you to live life of painful drudgery, in which each day is a total drag. After all, the Bible is so full of passages about joy. While it certainly doesn't mean that every single day is a parade or a circus, it does mean that an overall sense of gladness should permeate your life. Let's look at Psalm 63, verse 7. Psalm 63, verse 7. David said, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." How can you get to that place where instead of wandering aimlessly through life, you're actually singing for joy, or just making a joyful noise for those that don't sing? Your life purpose consists of the central motivating aims of your life, the reason why you get up in the morning, why you get out of bed. Purpose is where we find meaning, what we want to do and contribute. For those who have a sense of spirituality in their life, purpose is generally interwoven, often around a sense of meaning and connections. It goes to the heart of what we value and who we are. Purpose can guide life decisions, influence behavior, share goals, offer a sense of direction, and create meaning. For some people, purpose is connected to vocation, meaningful, satisfying work. For others, their purpose lies in their responsibilities to their family, friends, or the community. Others search for meaning through spirituality or religious beliefs. Purpose is unique to everyone. What you identify as your purpose will be different than others. Your purpose can actually shift and change throughout life in response to the evolving priorities and fluctuations of your own experiences. Today, I would like to talk about our purpose in life. The definition of purpose in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is the reason why something is done, the reason why something is used, the aim or intention of something, the feeling of being determined to do or achieve something, the aim or goal of a person, what a person is trying to do or become, etc. I have some examples from the Bible and what we can learn from them. We'll start with Noah. We turn to Genesis 6, 12 through 14. Genesis 6, 12 to 14. God spoke to Noah. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. Verse 13. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth." Verse 14. "So make yourself an ark." He then provided details, instruction on how to make this ark. God gave Noah a very specific purpose: build the ark and save mankind and the animals. In verse 9, it says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God." Noah had a relationship with God. And because of that relationship, God gave Noah a task he knew that he could accomplish. This was not a purpose that Noah had come to on his own. He did not just wake up one day and determine that he was going to build a huge boat and put a bunch of animals on it. Wild animals at that. After all, that sounds a little crazy. Noah accepted the project, was committed to it, and worked at it until it was completed. He persevered despite the length of time it took to complete the project, and despite the fact that he was belittled and made fun of. It required effort and hard work. Noah was able to do this because he had a relationship with God and faith in God. The next man was Saul. If we would turn to Acts 23. Actually, you don't have to turn there. Saul was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and trained by a Pharisee teacher, Gamaliel. In the book of Acts, Saul is depicted as a persecutor of the early church that began in Jerusalem. In Acts 7, verse 58, he is identified as being at Stephen's stoning. And shortly after, in Acts 8, 3, it says, Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Then in Acts 9, we have the story of Saul's encountering the resurrected Jesus on the Damascus Road, where Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In verse 4, up until this point, Saul had a purpose. His purpose was to destroy the church in Jerusalem. But now Jesus had a new purpose for him. In verse 5, he tells Saul to get up and go into the city, and he will be told what to do. In verse 15, breaking into the thought, Jesus says, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. A new purpose. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. We have to be flexible. Sometimes what we believe is our purpose changes into something else, often as a result of someone else's involvement in our lives. Jesus Christ was well aware of Saul's soon-to-be Apostle Paul's skills, and they were more than capturing and persecuting Christ's followers. Christ knew that there was a skillful teacher, humble, loving leader of the church inside of Saul. Paul needed to be humbled, trained, and pushed in the right direction in order for him to be able to use the gifts that he had been given to fulfill Christ's purpose for him, to continue to proclaim the gospel. The next man in the flesh is Jesus Christ. As we just heard in Luke 4, Jesus Christ had many purposes. He came to this earth with a number of purposes, but one of the main ones was to atone for the sins of humanity. In Hebrews 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2, 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for sins of the people. He was fully committed to doing so. He willingly gave up his Godship to fulfill his purpose. Jesus came with a mission, a purpose, and he fulfilled it by willingly sacrificing himself. Sacrifice is not easy. Even Jesus would have preferred not to have sacrificed himself if there was another way. As he said in Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Despite knowing what this would require of him, he gave the ultimate sacrifice, his life. Purpose requires hard work, dedication, and sacrifice. Nothing good comes easily. Jesus had more than one purpose, as I said before. Jesus declared his mission in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners, for the prisoners, and recover the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So not only was he here to sacrifice himself as an atonement for our sins, but to proclaim the good news, the news of God's kingdom. The freedom for the prisoners was the freedom from sin. The recovery of sight was related to seeing what God had planned for us, something we have been blind to before. Christ gave us hope and a plan to come out of the darkness, a way to become part of his family and live a different type of life. Christ was passionate about his purpose. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants us to know about the incredible kingdom of God. He spent his entire adult life preaching the gospel and explaining the scriptures because that was his passion. The next man, I'm sure you're familiar with, is Jonah. We all have heard about Jonah. Let's go to Jonah 1:2. Jonah was a prophet chosen by God to deliver a prophecy to the city of Nineveh in order to turn the people from wrongdoing. But Jonah did not like this purpose. In fact, he ran from it. He ran from God's purpose for him to go save Nineveh. He went in the opposite direction of Nineveh and headed for Tarshish in verse 3. He had no desire for the people to change, because he wanted them to be punished. That was not his call. Jonah tried to run from God. Have you ever tried to run from God? That's impossible. In verse 4, God created a storm. And when the sailors wondered who was to blame for the storm, it was determined that it was Jonah. In verse 7, In verse 8 through 15, Jonah confessed that he was the reason behind the storm and told them to throw him overboard. At first, the men in the boat tried to row back to shore. They eventually prayed to God and asked God not to blame them for possibly killing an innocent man. Then in verse 15, they threw Jonah overboard. In verse 17, God sent a large fish who rescued Jonah by swallowing him. Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of that fish before continuing on to fulfill the purpose of God that he had been given. A purpose or a mission takes time. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's a long time. During that time, there are lessons to be learned. We should learn the lessons that are presented to us. Jonah could have learned a number of lessons, such as loving your fellow man. The sailors, despite the storm, and knowing that Jonah had displeased God, still tried to row to shore to be saved. They had more concern for Jonah than Jonah had for the city of Nineveh. When God gives you a purpose, you need to fulfill it. He does not need our help. He can bring stones to fill our places, but he wants us to have faith in him. Stand up and fill the gap. There are so many stories in the Bible about ordinary people living their lives who were presented with a purpose and became heroes to us. They weren't important people before. They were regular people like you and me. David, the apostles, Noah, and Gideon, to name a few. Who knows what God has planned for us? We could have learned to trust God. God sees the whole picture. Often we can learn from them. So let us look at how we can use these lessons in our lives. If you feel purposeless, ask God to give you wisdom and direction. James 1 through 5, 1 verse 5 states, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given unto you." That's incredibly good news. God wants to give you a purpose. He wants to bestow divine wisdom on you. It's not like God is holding out on you to make you miserable. He desires you to have a joyful, ambitious, purposeful life. Ask God for purpose and expect him to give it to you. He may not give you a very specific purpose like he did with the examples we read about earlier, but he can guide you towards the right path. The primary way God speaks to us is through the Bible. This means that one of the first things you should do in your search for God's purpose is to start digging into Scripture. Now, you won't find any verses that tell you how to become a dance instructor, a painter, a boat builder, or even a construction worker. But you will begin to understand the heart of God. God created each of us for a reason. He gave each of us free will. The problem with free will is that we all make bad choices. You and I live in the world where billions of people make wrong choices every day. The only way we can ever get out of the mess is to return to our Creator and discover our original purpose. The purpose is to be His children. In Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word brings light to paths that otherwise seem dark. In the Bible, you learn how to live wisely in God's world, which is the first step towards finding your purpose. God has given you very specific gifts and strengths. Maybe you're a math whiz or a wise counselor. Maybe you have a mind for electronics or business. Maybe you are great at organizing people and getting things done. God's purpose for you probably involves the things you're already good at. This is where education can be particularly valuable. Going to college or going back to college allows you to discover your gifts and then determine how are you going to use them. It also connects you with people who want to help you find your purpose. The Apostle Paul was an educated man who received the education at the school of Gamaliel, located in Jerusalem. Gamaliel was one of the most noted rabbis in history. The education he received was strictly in his ancestral law and was zealous for God. Also, he had broad exposure to classical literation, philosophy, and ethics, among other things. What is one thing you're particularly passionate about? Really, this can be anything. Business, art, economics, alleviating poverty, people. God's word. Anything, whatever. If money wasn't an issue, what would you love to do? Christ was passionate about us being part of his family. He spent his adult life on earth working towards that goal. That was his purpose. Determining your passion often helps you figure out what God has called you to do. It's often said that God works at the intersection of our gifts and our passions. Where do your gifts meet your passions? That may be God's purpose for you. Trying to discover your life purpose can be stressful, overwhelming. It can seem like such a big, confusing, frustrating subject. You want to move forward, but you're not sure how. You want to find your purpose, but you feel like you're aimlessly wandering. Don't be like Jonah, who was given a purpose and ran from it. Be like Noah, who had faith and trust in God and fulfilled his purpose. You can trust God to lead you where he wants you to go. As Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3 says, he leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You may feel confused, but God is not. Our ultimate purpose is that God wants us to be part of his family and live with him forever. Not as pets, not as angels, not as humans, but as beings who are made in his image, immortal beings who are like him. This purpose involves an awesome, unbelievable future. It also involves your life right now. So what is your purpose in life? Have you chosen to be a nurse, a doctor, computer technician, construction worker, a parent, a servant of God? And the list goes on. Is your purpose in life satisfying to you? Are you happy with what you do for others? Do you get up each day with a strong desire to have purpose for that day? Is your purpose the purpose that God has set for you? I hope that this is something you can look forward to in choosing your next purpose in life. That boy in the beginning of the story chose to serve his fellow man, to learn all that he could to make that purpose for his life. Be purposeful in all that you do, and do it with all your might to the glory of God.